this summer. We're spending 3 weeks in three psalms that teach us about how to approach God. Before we read and before I pray, let me just give us a quick introduction to Psalm 145, which I hope you've got open in front of you. It might be those of us who have smaller children, on our walls at home we have A to Zs. Maybe it's a poster, an A to Z of animals, and you have an animal for every letter of the alphabet, from aardvark to zebra. Now, this psalm is a little bit like that. Every single verse in the original language, Hebrew, in which it was written, starts with successive letters of the alphabet. It is an A to Z. It's an acrostic. That's something to bear in mind. Second little thing worth remembering. Look into verse 13 for a minute. You'll see a couple of lines in square brackets. What is going on with the square brackets? Worth just mentioning. Now, for many centuries, most Hebrew manuscripts that we had of this psalm and the Old Testament omitted those two lines. That's actually the letter N. So in the A to Z, there was no letter N. Now, rather wonderfully, in 1947, they dug up the Dead Sea Scrolls, this amazing cache of ancient manuscripts, including loads and loads and loads of the Old Testament. And lo and behold, they found their missing letter N. So that's why that little bit is in square brackets. We'll see a footnote to that effect at the bottom of the page. Now, look right back at the very beginning of the psalm. In fact, before the start of the psalm, the title, A Song of Praise of David. Now, of all of the 150 psalms, this is the only one headed A Song of Praise. Now, that actually is the Hebrew title for the whole book of Psalms. Yeah, with their woes and their laments and their calls to wisdom, as well as their joyful praises, they called the whole book the Song of Praise. But of the individual psalms, this is the only one. That should trigger something in our minds. This is the Psalm of Praise. And it introduces, actually, the very last psalms, 146 to 150, each of which begins, Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, when there is nothing left to say but praise. So I am going to pray, and I'm going to ask for the Lord to give us praising hearts, and then we will read aloud together Psalm 145. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know us. We thank you that you know our hearts, so often divided or cold, but equally sometimes by a wonderful work of your Spirit, grasping your goodness. And so we pray for ourselves that none of us here would harden our hearts against you or against your word. We pray that you would inflame our hearts with thankfulness and joy and gratitude. And we do ask that for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Amen. So, Psalm 145, this A to Z of praise. Let's read it aloud together. A song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And thanks be to God for his word to us today. Praising God is a problem. For a few of us here today, just looking in on the Christian faith, you know you're not yet a Christian. It might seem extremely odd to you that your Christian friends praise, that is, give themselves so much to the praise, the worship, the adoration of God. Do we mean what they say and sing? Do you wonder, is the God to whom we pray and praise, is he a massive egotist who requires praise? Now, hopefully you're discovering that the Christian faith is massively other person-centered. The God of the Bible is infinitely kind and gracious. But also, you are hopefully discovering from the Bible and from Christian friends and from church that the universe is utterly God-centered. Sin means we exalt ourselves, but wonderfully, the Lord Jesus Christ, he both forgives us that sin and then empowers us, strengthens us to live for other people, but more than that, gives to the Christian this desire of their heart to live for the praise and glory of the one true God, Father, Son, and Spirit. So perhaps the challenge for you today, it's to study the Lord Jesus Christ and see why it is both right and good to live to his praise and worship. So praise is a problem, obviously, for someone not yet on the inside of the Christian faith. But Christian people, praise is a problem for you and me. We're in a bit of a heat wave. The leaves and the grass, they're getting drier and drier and drier and browner and browner and browner. Does your heart sometimes feel like that? Dry, joyless, praiseless. If we know the Lord, we will praise him. You know, verse 3, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. But we do not find that easy. It is not natural. Our hearts get dried out sometimes because of our sin, just living in rebellion against God. Sometimes the world around us presses in more loudly and it drowns out the praise of our hearts. It does not encourage us to live for Jesus, does it? We have a great enemy the evil one, Satan, who had loved us to live for the praise of anything or anyone else apart from the one true God. Sometimes it's suffering. Suffering can, wonderfully, in the power of the Spirit, bring someone nearer to the Lord, but sometimes it can also drive them away. Now, Psalm 145 contains a wonderful answer for the Christian's dried out heart. It really contains the gospel. And as with the whole gospel, it's not an answer that relies on us, on our activity, kind of working ourselves up into a state of praise. Wonderfully, it relies upon the work of the Lord Jesus. Our first heading, Jesus is our praise leader. Let's pop the next slide on. Jesus is our praise leader. When you look at the title of the psalm, you see a psalm of David. It's the last psalm in the Psalter of King David. And so then when we read him speak in verse 1, I will extol you, my God and King. What are we listening to? We're listening to a song, but we're listening to a song in which God's King, the Christ, the Messiah, David, is praising God the King. So when this psalm begins, it begins with an I. It begins singular. King David, the Messiah, the Christ, I will extol you forever. It starts off as a solo song of praise. It's not yet a choir item. It's not yet for the whole people of God to join in, though it becomes that. Now the kings of Israel in the Old Testament, like David, supremely like David, they were meant to be a means of grace and blessing to God's people in lots of different ways through the godliness of their rule, but including as the leader of Israel's praise. Now here is the thing. When you read verses 1 and 2, and when you compare that to the life and the reality of King David, we know that he did this sometimes. We know he didn't do it always. And he couldn't do it forever. So, for example, we read, don't we? Verse 2, every day I will bless you. But he didn't bless the Lord when he stumbled into sin. And he didn't, verse 2, praise the Lord's name forever and ever because he died. So when we read those opening couple of verses of Psalm 145, it's kind of prophetic. It's looking forward to the ministry of the Lord Jesus, to a king who would, at that time, give a praise that had not yet been given. A king who is sinless, a king who would live forever. Now, up on the screen behind me or in your Bibles, look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. Remember, this is Psalm 145. It is the definitive psalm of praise in the whole Psalter. And here is what the Lord Jesus says. He says, I, Jesus, will declare and I will sing your praises in the congregation. Now just stop and think about that for a moment. Here is a congregation. Here is a church, ecclesia. And the Lord Jesus is that church's song and praise leader. Just imagine, listening to the Lord Jesus sing the praises of his God and Father. Extraordinary thought, isn't it? It's one reason, by the way, why it's not helpful to think of human musicians as being worship leaders. There is a worship leader. That job's already been filled. And here is the great encouragement that comes from that. we do not have to generate praise for the Lord. Our hearts are so often cold or divided or insincere. It is a wonderful thing that we're actually not the ones behind the microphone. Not that Jesus, I think, would need one. He leads. He sings. He sings from a perfect and obedient life and an undivided heart. And he sings from a resurrected life forever and ever. And the gospel says, join in. We're invited to join in. The Psalter is to be sung by people like us, but we're actually giving ourselves to a work of worship and praise, which is begun by Jesus, led by Jesus. And that is where the saints fit in. And they do fit in. We do fit in. Look at verse 10. Look at the second half of verse 10. All your saints shall bless you. We do, and we will. So, we sing praise about the Lord. We sing praise with Jesus. We sing praise in the church of Jesus. Well, to whom do we address our praise and adoration? Now, the Bible answers that in a few different ways, in a few different directions. Psalm 145 has a very distinctive answer. That's our second heading down in verses 4 to 7. We sing God's praises to the children. Look at verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Goes like this. The king sings. And then the church joins in and passes on that praise to the next generation. It's talking about one generation of Christians, Christians who are oldies. Okay, there are a few oldies in the room here. Maybe it's someone who's the age of a grandma or a grandpa, or simply a dad or a mum, that kind of age and stage. And what do? They are commending God's works. When you commend something, you say to someone else, this is good, this is excellent, this is wonderful. You know, so let me tell you what Jesus has done and why it is so good. So that generation, those oldies, if you like, they are commending the works of God to another generation. Looking down the years of history and church history, the children and the young people of tomorrow. So I guess, if you're an oldie in any shape, size or form, if we know the Lord's goodness, are we passing it on? So I look back. I am so deeply grateful to those who commended Christ to me from the generation above me, my mum and dad, my grandmother, Bob File, great Church of Scotland minister, Mike Ovey and Gary Williams, long dead saints whose books I've read and be blessed by. Who passed the gospel to you? Are you going to pass it on to the next generation? Young people, children, listen in. The old people around you will not be around forever. It's a bit like a relay race where people run and pass the baton on to the next runner and the next runner. The gospel and the praises of God are a little bit like that baton. When they pass it to you, will you take it up? Will you live your life given over to the praise of Jesus? But what is it about our Lord that should grip our hearts, that should move us to praise and worship? Well, perhaps obviously our praise is tied to our view of God. A great and true theology of God leads to high praise. We cannot worship him until we know him as he is. So our third and final heading, let's whiz on to the last slide. The psalm holds before us, verses 8 to the end, the greatness of the Lord. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And as it goes on through the alphabet and this A to Z of praise, it gives us four things, four ways in which we see the greatness of God. This is what the Lord Jesus sings about. It's what we're called to sing about, live in the light of. This is always true. So whatever else is going on in your life, this is always true. Verses 8 and 9, the Lord's steadfast love. You see, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. We're Christians and we perhaps are of that older generation. Do we take for granted that the Lord does not treat us as our sins deserve? Sins which include being cold-hearted or grumbling or tempted to double-mindedness, worshipping the Lord, but also idols. And the answer is, you know, why does he not treat us as our sins deserve? And it's that glorious word, steadfast love. Verse 8 is actually a quote. It's a quote from Exodus 34. Do you remember the Exodus story? God rescues his people from slavery in Egypt. He calls them to worship him. He makes them his own people. He binds them to himself in the covenant. And then, do you remember the golden calf? They collapse into false worship and self-worship and immorality. And then there is this amazing conversation between Moses and the Lord, in which the Lord shows to Moses what he is like. And it's this: the Lord, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in love. That's why we're not consumed. Steadfast love, that never-ending covenant love of the Lord, we need it. And so we praise him for it. Let's go on. We can't spend long on these attributes and works of our great God. Next, his never-ending reign. That's verses 10 to 13. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It's what the resurrection proves to us, isn't it? You know, the risen Jesus can say to us, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Doesn't always feel like it. Every single generation of Christians who have sung this psalm, they would have lived around worldly kings, worldly empires that had seemed so permanent, often opposed to the gospel. And one by one, they all pass away. The rule and reign of Christ, not. What are the kings and empires that dominate our minds and hearts? Maybe it's China. Maybe it's the progress of Islam. Well, we remember, don't we? Remember the old hymn, Jesus shall reign wherever the sun shall his successive journeys run. So wherever the sun shines in this universe, Jesus is Lord. And so we praise him for his rule and reign. Let's go on. We praise him for his kindness to all. That's verses 14 to 17. The eyes of all look to you. You give them their food in due season. This is what the Bible sometimes calls God's common grace. You know, gifts from God given indiscriminately to everyone, whether they're a Christian or not. And it's a fact, no person can live a day or an hour without the Lord's providential care. It's a glorious thing. It's a wonderful thing. And we praise him for it. Lastly, verses 18 to 20, he saves those who love him. This now special grace, the saving grace given to those who are joined to Jesus. Look into those last verses. They're very precious. Verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. So when the Christian, perhaps at the end of our tether, when we cry out to our God, he is near to us. Verse 20, He preserves those who love him. He rescues and he cares. Now, the praise of God the Father, wonderfully, it's not started by me, it's not started by you. It's not something you have to kind of generate within yourself. This praise, it is begun by our Saviour Jesus. And we're invited to lift our voices and sing with him. So as we finish, look down at verse 21. I'm going to read verse 21. And then I'm going to pray. And then we will come to the Lord's table. Listen to God's word. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Father in heaven, when we are in our right minds, we know that it is our end and purpose to glorify you and enjoy you forever. We know that when our hearts are full of thanks and praise, we are at our happiest and holiest. We thank you for grace and mercy towards us when our hearts are cold. We ask that you would inflame our hearts with gratitude. Please, today, this week, would you give us eyes to see your wondrous and majestic works in common grace, in special grace, in your covenant love for us, your protection of us, and especially in your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. And we do ask that for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.